Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone. Panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
What's great? What's garbage? Everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with Andy Reiner, here's the Fan's Paul Charchian.
We're back, Video Games Weekly on the Fan. I am Paul Charchian, my co-host as always, Reiner. Hello.
Hello, sir.
It's good to be back. We did a podcast a couple weeks ago to fill in the gaps, but we haven't been on the air since... Darn, like early December which is ridiculous. We got Snakebit by the Wild schedule, Gopher schedule, and then Christmas falling on a Tuesday, New Year's Eve, or New Year's Day on a Tuesday, but we're back.
Yeah, we picked the coldest day in a century to come back.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, we had to drive in negative 12, but other than that, roads are actually in good shape.
Yeah, not bad.
I didn't have any problems at all.
Turns out nobody's outside.
every just sane us. Person is inside. Just us. That's right. Plenty to get to. Today, Kingdom Hearts 3 finally comes out. Honest to God, I think it's been in development for 7 years.
It really has.
Resident Evil 2, the reboot. We'll talk about that later in the show. Anthem did their, what they called a VIP demo over the weekend. Mixed reviews. I want to get your thoughts on that as well. I want to talk about the best VR game I've ever played. That's happened since we talked last. And you've got a farming simulator that people actually should play.
Yes, families, children, even.
Yeah.
Everyone should play this.
We always get questions on this show. People asking, what can I play with my kids? Here you go.
We
have a good family-friendly farming game. We have giveaways tonight, so you can actually ask your questions if you wanted to.
What do we have?
What do we have?
We have Overcooked 2 for Xbox.
Excellent. Speaking of family-friendly, yes. Fair.
And more family-friendly stuff here. Madden 19 for PS4.
Those giveaways courtesy of Jason Bonfig and Jeff Haydock at Best Buy. Gear up with the latest games and accessories at Best Buy. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. It's good to have support from the show.
Yeah.
Apparently, we've got a lot of listeners in at Best Buy headquarters.
They're right here. You can almost see their building.
Yeah, practically, yes. Let's start with Kingdom Hearts 3. I think that's bigger than Resident Evil 2.
Well, it came out today.
Came out today. Yes. Resident Evil 2 is, what, a week ago?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk Kingdom Hearts 3. First, the review is excellent. You guys scored it a 9.5 out of 10 by Kim. So let's just start here. It's been,
since 2005.
Jeez, really?
December 22nd.
I know it's been a long time, but it's really that long?
It has. Wow. You know, the main character is voiced by the same kid from The Sixth Sense.
Oh, yeah. What was that kid's name? I've forgotten already.
I can't remember his name, but he now has a full beard, and it doesn't look like he's trimmed it since he was a child.
You're probably right about that. It's been a while. He was a kid then. Give people the premise of Kingdom Hearts, given that it's 14 years old. You know, what is this game even all about? Because it's one of the weirder mashups out there.
Yeah, it's developed by Square Enix, one of the companies that specializes in JRPGs. It is of that caliber of experience.
Yep.
You know, you're gaining levels, all that stuff. You are playing as a fictional character named Sora, but get this, his cohorts, his party... Our Disney characters, Donald Duck and Goofy, are with him at all times. And he is...
Do people even know who those two are anymore?
Donald Duck and Goofy, yes.
Do they?
Kids still go to Disney.
If I asked your daughter, your six-year-old daughter, who they are, does she know?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yep. I don't think my daughter, the daughter's 13, I don't think she knows who they are. Goofy and Donald Duck.
She gave you a thumbs up.
Thumbs up, meaning I'm right, or she does know.
Nope.
She knows who they are.
And that is a knowing, like... My dad is always wrong.
Yeah. Haley Joel Osment, by the way.
That is, yes. There he is.
It's I just, you know, what have those characters done in the last 50 years?
Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
They're signing autographs at Disneyland, and they're in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, and kids don't have any idea who that is, but that's all right.
But
I'm contending.
As you're kind of going on this unique story, you are going into different Disney kingdoms, like different worlds. And now they've added Pixar. So you go into Toy Story. Yeah. Everybody knows Toy Story now.
Yeah.
Big Hero 6, you know, the latest in Disney CG.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monsters, Inc. as well. Pirates of the Caribbean. So they have some of the live action stuff.
Yeah.
But you're interacting with those characters as you're trying to kind of solve your own narrative. And it is a convoluted mess of a story.
Oh, geez. Not again.
I mean, you have to, like, this is a continuation. This is like chapter 25 of a 40-chapter book. So a lot of people just want to jump in with number 3.
Yeah.
But it is a straight continuation. This is not a new jumping on point like God of War or, you know, like Res Evil 7 where it reinvents itself.
Why would they do that when the previous game was 14 years ago?
For the fans who are now adults.
Don't care. How many of them even, you would think there's a whole new group of potential fans. My daughter, 13-year-old daughter, should be perfectly situated for this. Why would they not want to start a story that, you know, instead of picking this thing up midstream?
I give them props for this because you usually see stories reset like this, right? Like,
yeah, after 14 years, yes.
Like Star Wars Episode 7,
yeah.
After decades, yes, it's continuing the story of Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, but they give you new guides through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Rey and all that stuff. This is the exact same characters in the exact same points where they were left off, and there are all of these side stories with the most confusing names, like Birth by Sleep and stuff like that, that you need to follow. They're not just like little side chapters. They are integral parts of the plot line that you need to line up. They've released collections on PS4 if you've always wanted to get in this series. Kim says 3 is not a good jumping on point.
Okay.
You're going to miss a lot of the nuance and why these characters are there and why certain things matter.
Oh, geez.
So there are collections that you can catch up on. But as I pointed out to her, catching up on RPGs of this size, that's basically a lot of people's 2019.
What do you mean?
Right? It's just in the amount of time it would take to play 7 Kingdom Hearts games.
Yeah, right. To get up to this.
Yeah. That is a, like,
so
reading the Dune
it.
Novels, right? Like, nobody wants to do that. Or Wheel of Time.
It is like Wheel of Time. How many of those are there?
That's probably what it is. The game equivalent of Wheel of Time.
Oh,
I think there
man.
Was 10 of those.
That doesn't fly for me. So the narrative does bring together all the stuff from before. And it sounds like, according to Kim's review, that it does mostly resolve a lot of the open storylines that have been left hanging for 14 years.
Yeah, so maybe there's some closure here now. And they can... maybe on the next one, 15 years from now.
Yeah,
restart.
That's right. Oh, good Lord. 2032, I will look forward to.
That's the entry point.
That's right. At that point, Audrey's kids will look forward to playing. Kingdom Hearts 3 is at its core an action combat RPG. This is not a turn-based, oftentimes, Square Enix turn-based combat game.
No, you are switching through magic in a meter as you're moving on the fly. Mm-hmm. It's very kind of confusing how you do that.
Yeah.
But it is all about timing-based combos, launching in the air, you know, moving from one enemy to the next. You know, you have the lock-on system, kind of like Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
Once it really gets rolling, it's a lot of fun once the action picks up. But whenever it stops to start telling me story stuff,
to glaze over.
I just don't understand it. It seems interesting, but I just don't know. I don't have those, you know, the knowledge from the prior games to you know, make that meaningful.
Well, and even if you did in 2005, you don't anymore.
Right.
Now, this is a Square Enix JRPG, so there's plenty of brooding, spiky-haired kids in this thing.
Yes.
And so it's not all Disney characters. It looks like this thing is roughly evenly split between typical JRPG characters and various Disney entities.
Yeah, it's funny. Whenever I talk to Kingdom Hearts fans about what they love about these games,
mm-hmm.
it's not the familiar licenses that are in there, you know, the Disney characters.
Okay.
It's about the unique stories about Sora and Kairi and Riku, these characters that they've gotten to know. They're more interested, invested in just those narratives They don't need that Disney stuff anymore.
Hmm.
You know, that was the thing that got into it.
That was the hook originally.
But now it's outgrown that. So Kim says that they've kind of scaled back on that a little bit. I've played a bunch of it, and I'm more into the Disney stuff, seeing how that's sewn into it. But that's because I don't have that commitment to those characters, right?
Now, one part of the Disney universe that's not in here that you alluded to, there's no Star Wars in this.
No, which is very strange, because that deal has been done for a long time,
right?
It just seems like you have a Keyblade. Your character has a Keyblade. Like, it's kind of like the wands in Harry Potter. They kind of choose their owner.
Okay.
These very special giant keys that they wield as swords. Give them a lightsaber, a glowing one, you know, glowing key, and have it make the Star Wars sounds, the lightsaber sounds. But no, there's no Star Wars.
No Star Wars.
Some Final Fantasy ties.
Yeah, and there is plenty of... You can get Star Wars a lot of places. Maybe they just didn't want to overextend... Well, when do they not overextend Star Wars?
Yeah, no Marvel either, from what I understand.
Yeah, no Marvel here either. Yeah, right.
And it's weird, because Disney Infinity, another series from Disney, had everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one doesn't. Sticks to
well, it's because they've been working on it for 14 years.
That's true.
So maybe that's why.
Before
all these deals. And then you can't just decide I'm going to randomly, you know, throw in a Hoth level.
Yeah, because that would take another 5 years to do.
Yeah, that's right. They'd have to reset the clock. Overall, Kingdom Hearts 3 still got a 9.5 out of 10, even though we're beating it up pretty badly here. So apparently the action's so good, you can overlook the narrative.
That is from a Uber fan, by the way. Like, she loves Kingdom Hearts, like you would not believe. I am not in that camp. I'm interested in it because it's a big new release. I feel like I need to play all those.
Mm-hmm.
I had fond memories of 1 and 2, but, you know, a decade's gone by and I haven't really thought about this series. And I go back into it and it's neat. It's nostalgic for me.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's not really kind of burning up the gaming landscape like it is for fans.
All right. So, and by the way, it was originally PlayStation only. Now it's on. It is also on Xbox.
Correct. And PC, maybe?
I don't think it is on PC.
No? Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
No Switch. I know that.
Yeah. It is not on Switch.
Just PlayStation and Xbox.
Okay. Got it. That's Kingdom Hearts 3. You can read the full review at GameInformer.com. If you want to participate in this show, next segment, we'll take a couple of calls, and we're going to break down Resident Evil 2. That's the big release from recently. Also getting an extremely positive review, and maybe this time we'll actually have something positive to say about a game that got a 9.5 out of 10. Stay tuned for more Video Games Weekly after this.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Giarchi and Ryan are with you, Game Informer and GameInformer.com. Promise to take calls, and I will do that, 1-800-320-5326. And we have a couple of giveaways, courtesy of Best Buy, Overcooked 2, and I forgot what the other one was.
Madden.
Heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You could fire it up before the Super Bowl, for the Super Bowl, run your own game, Rams v. Patriots. See what your particular console, who they got winning. They've announced, they do this thing every year. They run like, 100,000 simulations on Madden and just tell us who's going to win. And they did that. And I didn't care enough to look, see who it was actually.
I've never done a Super Bowl prediction, so I've never been wrong.
Good for you. Have you ever been invited to a Super Bowl party? Or does nobody even bother?
I have, from
nobody
someone I know
bothers.
Very well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but you don't, why, but why would you,
to go.
Why would you choose? Yeah, you would never do that. It's football. Resident Evil 2 came out last week. Your Ben Reeves gave it a 9.5 out of 10, which is very good. This is a remake of the original PlayStation, the 1998 PlayStation Classic. I was lukewarm on Resident Evil, played it all the way through back in the day. I was still pretty lukewarm on it then, but people absolutely, it was gigantic back then, Resident Evil was. But when I go back and think about that game from today's standards, I think it doesn't date itself very well. Remember this old, this has been my ongoing gripe with Resident Evil, and it took 20 years to get past. Could not move and shoot at the same time.
Yeah.
You were walking or running. You have to come to a complete stop, aim, and shoot.
Mine was you couldn't see what was 2 feet away from you if the camera
wasn't right.
Was in the wrong position.
Well, and then that led to the jump scare that they were setting you up for, which was also cheesy and cheap, the jump scare. Well, the hounds jumping out of the windows and stuff like that.
I remember reviewing that game. And there was nothing like video game horror games at the time, right?
That's
right. There was like Alone in the Dark and stuff like
Correct.
That. And Seventh Guest. They were kind of creepy. But this game kind of introduced that jump scare into video games.
Yes.
Resident Evil 1. And it wasn't like a jump scare in movies where there's tension building.
Mm-hmm.
This was based on your position as a player. As you moved down a hallway, these dogs jumped through the window unexpectedly.
Right.
And it was loud and crazy. Yes, you jumped out of your seat because you had no idea what was going to happen.
In a way that no video game ever let you
and
before.
From that moment forward, you played them differently. You played horror games differently. Yeah. You expected that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you were on your guard.
It was a game changer.
You're on your guard that way. And I'll grant the Resident Evil that part. The graphics by today's standards, just garbage, unfortunately, which was what the PlayStation could do. Pacing, insanely slow. The gameplay wasn't great. A lot of backtracking. There are a lot of things about the original Resident Evil 2 that upon reflection, would never pass today. So what I'm really curious about is how much of that did they fix, embellish, remove in the remake?
It's almost like you're on the development team, Charge.
Really?
Telling them what they shouldn't do.
Yes.
It controls beautifully now. It's a lot like a...
Wait, move and shoot technology? At the same time?
You can walk and shoot. You have camera control. It's over third-person viewpoint.
Okay.
So you can tell exactly what's going on at all times.
Yeah.
And pacing-wise, they changed a lot of things, added in new elements, all new puzzles. It's almost like a new game. And I had this argument with people at the office. It was like, is this a story reworth telling?
Yeah.
Resident Evil 2, that epic story of zombies in a police department. But it's cool to have it back and have those characters back, Leon
and Claire,
and having their different scenarios. When you start the game, you could play as either of them. And then when you go through it again,
you play as the other
things.
One.
Yeah. You see different viewpoints. They connect very well. You'll see, if you're playing as Leon, things that Claire left behind. You'll run into moments where you see her at certain points.
Mm.
And different types of items you get, to make the playthrough feel fresh, too. I'm having a blast with it. I'm nearing the end now.
Okay.
I've gone through the sewers. That's always a bad place in horror games.
Nothing good ever happens in the sewers.
Why did you go in there?
I've never been in a sewer my whole life.
Yeah.
Yet, in video games, every third game, it's got sewer levels.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the road's out. Let's go in the sewer.
No. Nobody would do that.
Stay where you are.
Exactly. How are the graphics in the rebuilt Resident Evil 2?
Excellent. Absolutely terrifying, too. Like, yes... People call it a zombie game, right? Like,
well, it is.
It is for about the first hour. They are the fodder, like your opening gameplay enemy, like slime in Dragon Quest or rats
in
every BioWare game ever.
Rats in the cellar, yeah.
That's what you start with. They kind of dictate the pace of the play. They want you to be cautious, move slowly, round corners slowly. But then, after they're introduced, the next enemy's deadlier. Crazier in its design. And by the end of the game, you're seeing things you cannot stop.
Mm.
They just keep coming at you, giant tongues on them, just weird creations, almost Cthulhu-like, that are everywhere. And
so these are different beasts than before.
Yeah, some of them, yeah. The lickers, the ones with the tongues and the exposed brains, those are back. They scurry along the ceilings and stuff like that. But yeah, there are new villains and... That series doesn't get enough credit for its enemy designs. And I think people, yes, it was a zombie game to begin with, but man, it's evolved way beyond that as a series.
In the original Resident Evil 2, the rationing of ammo and having to, God forbid, if I like miss, hit and take the guy down, I got to reload.
Yeah.
You can't miss twice. The way they rationed the ammo was so draconian that it took a lot of the fun out of the game for me. How are they handling ammo in this version of Resident
Evil 2? Exactly the same.
Oh, geez.
But here's the weird thing. I always felt like I had like one or two shots left, whether I hit with every headshot or I put a bunch of holes in this gaudy wallpaper.
Yeah.
I would always have just enough.
Just enough.
I don't know how they balance that. If they change the numbers as you kind of move along on how much ammo's or, you know, rounds are in a clip.
Yeah.
Or in the chamber and stuff like that. But I always felt like I just had enough, never an abundance of it. So you're always kind of on edge, even with your health. Like, you know, that you still eat plants to heal yourself in this.
Yeah, you do.
You find a fern,
the green herb,
and you just eat it.
Yeah.
You think that would change over time.
You think so, too.
But that's, that's part of what makes this series tick, though. Like, you don't want to feel comfortable, even with what you're carrying. You know, that's video games have that power fantasy of, I feel like a god after a while. You never feel that in Resident Evil. You feel like you're just scraping by.
Yeah.
And that's kind of part of the beauty of it.
Yeah. I agree with that. I just thought they went too far in the ammo rationing in the previous one. Or maybe I need to get to be a better shot.
I have not reloaded once. So, and I did that in Resident Evil 1 way back in the day where I was like, I cannot get past this next room. I don't have any ammo.
Can you name from Resident Evil 1 the master of unlocking?
The master of unlocking?
Mm-hmm.
Jill. Valentine?
Jill Valentine, the master of unlocking.
Sure, so that's like the main character.
I understand, but it is the reason I want you to know the master of unlocking. And when Zach gets off the phone, I'm going to ask him to look this up on YouTube. Maybe the worst delivered line in the history of video game voice acting is the introduction of Jill Valentine, the master of unlocking.
We need to play it.
Zach, YouTube, Resident Evil 1. Jill Valentine, Master of Unlocking. Find the audio whenever you're ready. Well, I would love to hear that. A couple other notes on Resident Evil 2. First, available on PC at launch.
Yes.
Thank you, Capcom. I love that we're getting more PC games at launch. And get this, shot immediately into Steam's top 5 most played games. Dramatically higher than Resident Evil 7 did when it eventually came out on PC as well. 400% higher, in fact. And then I have two side conversations I want to have with you about this Resident Evil remake. Number one, how many more remakes are we going to get now? I mean, is this even good for the industry? I mean, I don't want the next Resident Evil to be Resident Evil 3. I really don't. I'm nervous that the positive reviews, the positive sales is effectively sending a message that we as consumers would rather buy updated 20-year-old games, 30-year-old games, than having new experiences.
Yeah, I hope they alternate between going to the next installment, Resident Evil 8, where they're innovating.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 7, they took some real chances, made it more of kind of American Horror Story, first-person type of horror experience.
Yeah.
But we also want, now that you've played Resident Evil 2, you want to remake a 3.
Do we?
Because 3 was awesome as well. Because we've already had the remake of 1.
Yeah.
If they space it out over a decade, if get Nomura to develop it, I'm fine with that. But yeah, I limit the remakes. Like, game developers are so good at innovating and creating new experiences. I want them to keep pushing the boundary forward and not just keep looking back. I know it's easy money for them.
It is.
Take a classic
and
make it new again. But, you know, you also have to take chances to create the next Fortnite or
that's
Grand Theft Auto, right?
Which is what I want.
Is this it?
Is it coming, Zach?
Alpha Team is flying around the forest zone, situated in Northwest Raccoon City, where we're searching for the helicopter of our compatriot.
I need it to be closer to the introduction of Jill.
Disappeared during the middle of our mission.
No, I haven't found it yet.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
Yeah, I don't think that's it either.
I'll see if I can.
I think that is the beginning of it. I think it's buried in there somewhere.
I'll see if I can find it.
I need you to get the introduction of Jill, the master of unlocking. We've got a caller who wants to chat about Resident Evil 2, and that is Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
Over there? Oh, right on. Well, yeah, about Resident Evil 2, you were talking about the ammo and the lack of it. And reloading constantly. Remember in Resident Evil 2, at the end, they had grades for your performance and a percentage, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the ways to get a different ending or a better percentage and grade was to not use as much ammo and not necessarily kill every bad guy.
Hmm.
That's why it was a limited amount of ammo that they gave you originally.
I did not remember that.
yeah, it was so you had a different way to go through the game, receive a better grade before you switch discs. So
before you switch discs,
it was one of the first ones that threw multiple first game that threw multiple endings in back on the PlayStation.
At the yeah,
time. So it was yeah. kind of a new concept. But I love Madden, by the way. I just wanted to say that as well. I'm going Patriots this weekend by at least three. Probably I'm going six.
Six touchdowns or 6 points?
6 points.
All right, noted. Josh, I'll throw you on hold. Maybe you can pick up a copy of Madden. There's three new DLC stories for free coming with Resident Evil.
That's awesome.
2, the remake. And so those will be all new stories. So there's that, which is great. And the first one comes out in February.
One thing you'll like, Charge, if a zombie grabs onto you, like if you're running down a hallway with no ammo, but if you have a grenade on your belt clip, before it bites you, you could put the grenade in its mouth
and
take off.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that can take out a bunch of them at once.
Oh, I like the sound of that quite a bit. That to me sounds like a ton of fun. Now that, you know, I want a whole game built around putting grenades in zombies' mouths.
A belt of grenades.
Yeah, now that does sound like a lot of fun. Side conversation 2, very quickly. These old PS1 games have aged badly in general, way worse, I think, than the 16-bitters did before that. The generation before that has way more great games that hold up way better today than the first generation 3D games that the PlayStation 1 provided.
Yeah, we do a show at Game Informer called Replay where we look back every week at some of these old games, and you're totally right. Like the PlayStation 1 texture work and N64, the lack of textures, just that kind of blurry mess.
Yeah.
Hurt your eyes. Like, I can't believe, like, it took a lot of imagination for us to believe, like, Lara Croft was actually in tombs and not just, like, swimming through a pixelated mess.
Yes, exactly.
And
by the way, to that point, the PlayStation Classic getting killed at retail.
Yeah.
Nobody's buying it.
Nobody wants it.
No.
It's the wrong games.
It is. It's the wrong games on a platform that hasn't aged that well.
No, you look at, like, Ridge Racer on there, you're like, I cannot believe I actually thought this looked good.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
How much our tastes have changed and everything else. But yeah.
But that's part of the problem, though, and why we're getting these new full remakes is you can't just port that over. Like,
right.
A Chrono Trigger from Super Nintendo, you can port that over now, and it still looks great as a 16-bit game. But these 32-bit 3D games were just underpowered for what they were trying to deliver.
Exactly.
And it just didn't work.
But look at the PlayStation 1, enormously popular.
Yeah, I mean, we bought into it. We wanted 3D. It was like the inception of it, and we were there hook, line, and sinker, even though it was a disaster from a technology standpoint.
For sure. Mike, hello. Thanks for your patience.
Not a problem. Good evening, Reiner. Good evening, Church.
Hello.
Hi.
I want to start my conversation by blaming you, Charge, for the game that I'm going to be talking about, Clash Royale. Do you remember suggesting that one?
Oh, no, Reiner's the guy you need to talk to. Reiner's
that's me.
Reiner it never stops playing that game.
Every day, at least five matches.
We're 2 years into the life of that game. I'm still playing it, but the point of my call is that it's kind of a topic that we pick up and drop off every once in a while is the microtransactions and how it's impossible to find a game that you want to play without that built into the system.
Just in mobile games in general or that one in particular?
No, mobile games in general, and that's just the pinnacle of those type of games.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's what we know the model now. For most mobile games, it's they will charge you nothing, and then you pay if you want to have some experience beyond what basic level of service you're going to get with a free game.
Yeah, like I would say Clash Royale has some of the best multiplayer mechanics ever in the history of video games.
Wow.
I that's not hyperbole. I do feel it because I play it every day, and it's always competitive. But there is a pay-to-win element to it, which is so disappointing.
Yeah.
Like you, in the back of your mind, you're like, what would this be like if it was perfectly balanced? You see that in tournaments, you know, they have like tournaments in the game where they limit the number or the level of the cards that you can use. So it is an even playing field. But whenever you're just playing for fun, you know, trying to level up your rank, you just feel it. Sometimes players have higher cards than you do.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't
win
that. I'm not a whale.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a whale. Right. What else is on your mind, Mike?
The newer thing with that Reiner probably knows a little bit more about is that they basically use that platform, the Clash Royale platform, to bounce off their new game, Brawl Stars, and that's all you could see on your screen every time you would log into the game And so that basically just crashed out their Clash Royale game for like a week or two because everybody stopped playing that and then jumped to the new one. That's a pay-to-play game. So that was my question as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're always trying to get you in a different way, to hook you in a different way, even if it's bombarding you with ads whenever you turn on your game for their next product. You know, they want you to know about it. They want you to keep playing their products. One game I will tell you to play, and it is, again, pay-to-play, Legend of Solgard. S-O-L-G-A-R-D.
I got it on my phone, but I haven't played it. I downloaded it at some point thinking this looks really good, but I haven't played it.
It's match 3 combat. I know that sounds weird, but that's exactly what it is once you start playing it. I'm playing that just as much as Clash now, so I'm in serious trouble with my phone.
All right. Mike, thank you for the call. Throw you on hold. You can pick up one of our giveaways if you'd like. Tom and Dave, continue to hold. We'll be back for one final segment of Video Games Weekly, including the Anthem launch, which didn't go as well as we had hoped, and the best VR game I've ever played when we come back.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Would you kindly, take it back for me?
Welcome back. Final segment of Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Ciarchi and Reiner with you. Encourage you to check out the podcast. You can hear the show that we did a couple of weeks ago as well. We weren't on the air, but we did one off air.
My top 10 games of 2018 we discussed.
Yeah. Find out if there's any games that you missed that you absolutely should have played. Subnautica, making your list, was the highlight of
that
for me. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Including playing it in VR. Can I talk for a minute about the best VR game ever played? It's a new game. It's called In Death, which is a bad name. So I'm going to start by apologizing for the name. It's made by an Icelandic developer. And it's done in the Unreal Engine, not Unity. So way too many smaller games in VR space are done in Unity, and I don't like those. It is a gorgeous first-person roguelike in which you go through a procedurally generated castle. And, Reiner, the gist of the game is random monster locations, random treasures, very much a roguelike. Procedurally generated levels, permadeath, but you do unlock new things that it will introduce into the world permanently. So as you can make more and more progress, you will unlock more and more abilities to get farther and farther in the game. And so you will always die. It's just a matter of when and trying to see how far you can get. And in Death, which, by the way, available for everything, PSVR, full-blown Vive, Oculus, if virtually all the gaming VR systems, it's at its core, it is a first-person bow and arrow game. Your right hand, use your right hand as to shoot your bow and arrow. Lots of unlockable arrow types. Flame arrows, ricocheting arrows.
Curve arrows.
Well, the ricocheting ones let you bounce an arrow. So you're not looking in the room. You can bounce an arrow into the room. So lots of arrows that get unlocked. And then your right hand is a blocker, a shield. And so arrows are coming at you. They shoot arrows back, and you can block the arrows with your shield.
You need two hands for a bow and arrow.
Yeah. So if you're pulling the bow and arrow, you can't use the shield. But if you're not pulling the bow and arrow back, then you hold up your left hand, you get the blocker. If you have room scale for Vive or Oculus, not PSVR, you can also just step out of the way or duck to evade incoming arrows. It is fantastic, and it's beautiful, and it's compelling, and your run is, you know, like 12 sweaty minutes in a tense, high-action environment, and then you die, and you're like, oh, I want to go again. And so it's the game that makes you want to just play again more than any other. I love In Death on VR. It's available for everything.
It sounds like Dead Cells a little bit. That's kind of the new thing for roguelikes, is being rewarding and kind of forgiving of the player's time. It's not just about severe difficulty and perfection and executing your moves. They do give you those little pieces that make it easier your next playthrough. I love that. Dead Cells is fantastic. One of the best Switch games out there.
For sure. And like that game, this is a hard game. In Death is not easy. People call it the Dark Souls of VR. It's not easy, but because you can unlock things that help you, you always feel like I'm getting better at the game. And you do. You actually do get better, which is cool, too. So there you go. In Depth. In Death. Highly recommended.
And that's on PSVR.
And Vive and everything.
Right?
Steam. Okay. And I can't recommend it enough. If you've got VR, get that game. I've got a couple other calls I want to get to here. And then I want to talk about the Anthem launch,
yes,
or mislaunch.
Demo.
Demo, yes. Tom, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
My pleasure. Thanks for your patience on hold.
See, got a real basic question here. I'm not a gamer, but my two kids are. One has a PS4. One's got the old Xbox 360.
Oof.
He wants to upgrade to the PS4,
yeah,
so he can play games with his brother.
Yeah.
Is there an issue with both consoles being online on the same wireless router, going online playing games together, or does that work?
No, you should be able to support, if you have decent internet, you should be able to support two consoles
simultaneously.
More than that. It's a matter of you're going to need multiple PlayStation accounts for them, yep, to both be able to go online together. But once you have that, it should be fine.
And
but test your internet first. Like, make sure you have decent internet.
If you've got a decent download speed in the neighborhood of probably at least 15 megabits per second, I think you'd be fine. You know, now, if they're both doing that and you're streaming Netflix and, you know, maybe you start to run into trouble at some point, but I think it'll be okay.
Sure.
And
okay,
and to Reiner's point, I should mention this as well. To play, for both of them to play online, not only will they both need their own PlayStation, their own account, they will also have to have PlayStation's premium service, PlayStation
Gold.
Plus.
Or Plus.
Plus.
Right? Yeah. Xbox Gold.
Yeah. They'll have to have PlayStation Plus, which is 50-ish bucks a year. So you
both
have to pay.
Both of them need that.
Yep. You're going to have to need that if they want to play online together.
Perfect.
So, all right. Tom,
all right, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll put you on hold. I don't remember for sure anymore. Was our Overcooked for PS4?
Overcooked for Xbox.
Dang it.
One.
Tom, if you had an Xbox One, I would give it to you, but you don't. So I'm not going to. I'm going to hold it over. But thank you, Tom. I hope you enjoy that. Dave, hi.
Hey, Church.
Hi, Dave.
So I wanted to talk about the Nintendo Classic, which I know got, like, panned when it came out because of the short cables and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
My daughter bought it for my grandson for Christmas,
mm-hmm,
and she bought the package with the extended cables and, you know, the extras.
Yeah.
And he loves it.
Oh,
he's
good.
He's 4.5 years old, loves it. He's into the ninja game. And we play the Mario games,
mm-hmm,
and my daughter and I just, like, crush each other at Dr. Mario.
Oh,
which
good.
I think back in the day was a super underrated game.
Agreed.
It was one of the first games that she was into.
Yeah.
And my son-in-law and I have been playing the original Tecmo Bowl, which is super lame but super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I just wanted to weigh in on that and wonder, is the same version of Super Nintendo worth it?
Yes. Nintendo does their classics right.
Yeah.
You're totally on, you know, spot on with the cables being too short and all that stuff. But in terms of the games that are offered, they have classics on there.
Yeah.
And you're going to see that natural progression of innovation between the 8-bit and 16-bit era. I think that's really cool that your kids are cutting their teeth on these old games, and not bad ones like we had to go through, right?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
You're getting the premier experiences.
Yeah.
And for a 4-year-old, he can handle the controllers.
Yeah, just two buttons, right?
He does play games on the PS4, but he's 4 years old. He has trouble manipulating, you know, the controls. Next question, Overcooked 2.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Worth upgrading from Overcooked? Because Overcooked's one of my favorite games.
There's more of it. It's more of Overcooked.
Like, and less frustration, which I thought was really important.
A little easier.
There were some blockers in Overcooked that really stopped progress unless you had four skilled players.
Yeah,
which
you
just
stars,
have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, absolutely, Dave. I'll throw you in hold. You can pick up. Assuming we have Overcooked left, and I don't know that we do, then you can pick that up, Dave. Speaking of games for a 4-year-old, tell me about this farming simulator that you love.
Yeah, so I took a chance. I was just looking through Xbox One's marketplace, and I saw there's a game called Farm Together on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the trailer, and I was like, this looks really neat. And it was $20, and I was like, I'll check it out. It was $20 or $30. I can't remember what it was.
Wait, you paid for a game?
I did. I do all the time.
No.
And I decided, okay, I'm going to check it out with my daughter. And next thing I know, my wife's downstairs. She's farming with us, and the beauty of this game,
Farm
if you've
Together.
Played farm simulators before, Stardew Valley, Harvest Moon.
Yeah, Harvest Moon's huge.
Farming Simulator name your year. They have, they're stressful. Like, you got to be on the ball. You got to be, like, tending the crops at certain times,
yes,
interacting with certain people, fostering relationships, mm-hmm, moving the narrative and your farm forward,
yep,
making sure you have enough money to continue forward. Farm Together kind of strips all that away and is just like, have fun designing your own farm. Yes, there's a currency-based system. You have to have a certain amount of money to build things or plant certain crops, but you're never going to lose money. You're always, whenever you plant something, you're going to make a lot more when it's ripened and ready to harvest.
Yeah.
So you're constantly making more and more and more, and the crops never go bad. So you could leave corn out in the boondocks of your farm for
forever,
weeks.
Yes.
And then finally get around to it and make money off it. So you're constantly making progress. And it is so simple in its design that my daughter, who's six, she can't read yet. She understands letters and stuff like that. She,
yep,
cannot read.
Read.
Can play, yep, this game perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And on her own. I don't have to be there. She's just designing away. She sees the currency. It turns red. She knows she's out of money. She has to go harvest stuff. But it is so relaxing. And here's the crazy thing about this game. If you play it online, you can have 16 other players or 15 other players with you. So 16 players in your farm, all building the same farm. And it is huge. The,
wow,
scale of this farm is like a sprawling open world.
Yeah.
And you could build on every inch of it. And it doesn't take itself seriously either. It's cartoony in its look. You'll get fish. You can get things like hammerhead sharks.
Wow.
Ostriches, all sorts of different types of pigs.
I can't grow an ostrich.
You can't grow one, but you can have them on your farm.
Okay.
And then I think they give you eggs that you can turn in for serious money.
Okay.
But then you're building houses and all this stuff. There's no NPCs to deal with. It's awesome.
Yeah.
The perfect family-friendly, kid-friendly game. Sadly, it doesn't have couch co-op.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that they add that in someday because they do keep adding content to the game. No microtransactions in the game itself, although there is DLC to get things like different skins.
All right, but nothing that affects game.
No, like, okay, different regions of the world, stuff like that.
So that's Farm Together. You can,
yeah,
read the full review at GameInformer.com.
Out on Xbox, PC, and as of Friday, I believe this Friday,
Switch. Yeah, perfect Switch game,
oh,
I,
man,
think. Yeah,
yes.
That sounds great on Switch. You gave it an 8 out of 10.
I did, yep.
A strong review for a game
really
that can't
game.
Fail.
Yeah.
And a failless game. And that's what makes it great for kids. And we get questions on family games all the time. Farm Together. All right, talk to me about the Anthem VIP demo thing that happened over the weekend. I had a code to play it, but I got sick over the weekend. I wasn't able to play.
Well, a lot of people weren't able to play.
Yeah, that's right. My experience was not unique.
And, you know, I don't really fault BioWare for this. I know a lot of journalists took them to task, saying online games don't work, you know, falling on the heels of Fallout 76. But the game's not officially out yet. It doesn't come out till February 22nd. This is a demo. This is them testing the waters, figuring this stuff out. Hopefully,
yeah,
having it in place for when it launches on February 22nd.
Hmm.
This is the thing. This is the kicker. Fallout did the same thing with a beta. The game was not ready for showtime at the end of that beta.
Yeah.
They should have delayed the product until it was ready. I want to see what Anthem does. I want to see if they would actually delay their product. I know they're probably on boats or trucks on their way to retail stores,
yeah,
here. It's right around the corner.
You probably can't. If it's only 1 month out, you can't put the brakes on it. It's the same conversation we had in October about Fallout 76.
Yeah.
It's too late.
But
and think
we'll
about all the marketing that's in place for Anthem as well.
Yeah.
You know, BioWare, there's a lot. BioWare has so much goodwill built up. And I think maybe probably even more than Bethesda had, maybe a lot more than they did. There was a lot of people that were hoping. Did you have a chance to play it, by the way?
I did a little. Yeah,
okay,
I'm going to be doing the review, so I didn't want to see too much of a demo experience that's not going to be exactly
the
what the
one?
Retail is.
Sure, I can understand that.
So I steered clear of a bit of it, but I did check it out a little bit. I had to.
A lot of people are hoping that Anthem, unlike Destiny, will have a legitimate narrative. Did you see any part of that come through that looked like a real narrative, unlike what Destiny has given us?
Yes.
Because BioWare, this is what BioWare does, is give us great narratives.
Yes, I understand who the antagonist is. I understand my place in this universe.
Okay, good.
All that is very clear. Whether that's going to be interesting or not, and the characters along the way are interesting, we'll have to wait and see. But they do say that your town that you are in has like That's where all your kind of choice and unique things happen.
Yeah.
So you can kind of sculpt that story there. But that isn't the multiplayer experience, right? That when you are out in the field in the war zones with friends, when you go back to your base, that's a very solo experience.
I bet.
I think that's cool, though, because that's what BioWare is known for, is the single player.
And I don't mind propelling a narrative forward through that solo experience.
Time will tell.
In 20 seconds, the flying mechanic, awesome or not?
Yes, you feel like Iron Man.
I like that. I want that part, and they can win just on that if they get that part right.
Yep, I think it feels good.
That could be a huge part of it. We'll give more thoughts on Anthem as the release gets closer as well. If you miss any part of the show, check out the podcast. Available. KFAN.com, Fan on Demand, iTunes, and many other places as well. Video Games Weekly. Reiner, we'll talk, I think, one time next month. I don't
know. Maybe we could podcast again.
Maybe we'll podcast between now and then as well. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.